Well, today, Thursday, 18th of August, it's Vietnam Veterans Day. It's the anniversary of the Battle of Long Tan, which happened back in South Vietnam during the war on this day back in 1966. I had the pleasure of having a chat yesterday on account of the fact that he's speaking at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Service being held this morning down in the at Martin Place. I caught up with Gary yesterday, a writer, is a former Australian Army officer, was awarded the Military Cross while serving with the 4th Battalion Royal Australian Regiment during the Vietnam War. He was actually shot twice. Received the Military Cross. He's written numerous books. He's been back there on numerous occasions. And when I caught up with him yesterday, first up he spoke about the day back in 1968 when his number came up and he was conscripted, national serviceman, and he at the time was a trainee computer programmer.
Yeah, that's when computers were steam-driven back then. And they were the size of, you know, half of the floor was taken up with one machine. Early days.
How did you feel when your number did come up and you were conscripted, Gary?
Cheesed off. Mainly because it was selective, I think. And I'd just been selected to do an 18-month course in Chicago. Well, it was close to Chicago. It was with IGAM in Illinois. And myself and six other blokes had made the cut. And we were working for the AMP, but using IBM equipment. And IBM were going forward by, you know, computerising everything they could. And so I got selected for this course, but then my number came up.
It was an extraordinary time. You served in Vietnam, I think it was 1971 when you were shot twice, I think.
Yeah. Would you believe, on the very last operation of our tour of duty, we'd done 6 months with some pretty heavy contacts, we did one big battle before that day in July, and we hadn't had a scratch. We hadn't had anyone wounded. We'd had people, you know, sprain knees and ankles and get, bad chest infections, but we hadn't had anyone actually wounded. And it was the very last operation that the Australians were going on. And, I got nailed, yeah.
And as a result of that, I believe you spent about 12 months in hospital, is that correct?
Yeah, being reassembled. One of the bullets smashed into the head of my humerus, and the top of my clavicle, and it just shattered the shoulder joint.
Ooh.
And there wasn't enough left to sort of put an artificial joint in, and not in 1972 anyway. So they had to do an arthrodesis, but I had to wait about 4 or 5 months for all of the infection to calm down and to get all the other bits of bone and stuff out of the way before they could do a bone graft. And, I spent 6 months in a spike, what they call a spiker, which is a plaster cast that goes from your neck down to your waist. And my whole left arm was, I look like a Wernher von Braun, you know, you see the footage of him with his arm out at an angle.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
And I had that on for 6 months.
You received a Military Cross for that particular battle, and obviously no compensation for the fact that you're in a very real sense disabled for the rest of your life. But look, when a lot of Nashos came home, they were basically given discharge papers, and that was it, and weren't always welcomed by the Australian public, were you, when you came back from Vietnam?
No, it was pretty ordinary, and it was. It was even more so, as you mentioned, for the Nashos. You know, I had a bloke in my platoon, Kevin Benson, and he was a butcher from Geelong. And Kevin got off the plane, was given a rail ticket back to home from Melbourne back to Geelong, and that was the end of his. You know, thank you very much for coming. And he turned up at a footy game, and. People turned around and said, "Hey, Kev, where you been?" And he didn't say, well, I've been in Vietnam. He just said he'd been on holidays. Because, it was a very untidy time. You didn't talk about the war in general, At one stage, we were even prohibited. In 1972-73, we were prohibited from wearing uniform on public transport. As if it was something to be ashamed of. And that was awful.
Yeah. Look, you've been back to Vietnam on numerous occasions. You've written numerous books about it. You work with Matt McLaughlin, Battlefield Tour, so I'll give him a bit of a plug because Matt and... a number of people that work with them are pretty good at providing information about what's going on with the tours. I believe you've become good friends and in fact, play a bit of tennis with some of those who were your enemies back during the Vietnam War, Gary.
There's one guy in particular. He, at the Battle of Nui Lai, where I got shot, he was actually a young non-commissioned officer. I think he was a corporal or a junior sergeant, something like that. And he was in charge of a 12.7 heavy machine gun, sitting up on the top of the hill, trying to shoot my boss, Jim Hughes, who was a colonel. He was trying to shoot Jim out of the sky as he was flying over the battlefield, trying to bring in extra ammunition and coordinate artillery and air support. And, 25 years later, when I'm on a tour, I was down in Vung Tau, and my local guide said to me, "Well, there's a man in Vung Tau wants to meet you," because I'd written a few books by then, and in one of them I mentioned the Battle of Nui Lai and his unit, which was the 33rd Regiment, and he would like to meet you. So I went and met this guy, and he was a businessman in Vung Tau. He'd been in the North Vietnamese Army. And now he was quite a successful businessman in Vung Tau, which is a seaside city. And so I went to his tennis club, and there he was. He's a damn good tennis player, too. as a matter of fact, you don't want to play doubles against him. You're better off having him on your team.
Right.
But and we sat and had a few beers, and we literally celebrated the fact that we were both still alive.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we got on like a house.
And I believe you speak fluent Vietnamese these days.
No, I speak pretty ordinary Vietnamese.
Righto.
Because the Vietnamese language, Richard, is tonal, and you've got six tones.
Yeah.
And being deaf in one ear, it doesn't help. And because I lost that hearing when I was, in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And... The differences in the tones are slight. And I can remember the very first time after I'd done my course, I went back and I thought, well, I'm going to go and practice on somebody. And I said to these guys, well, what I thought I said was, tomorrow I'm going to the battlefield of Long Tan. And when I finished, they looked at me and all laughing their heads off. And I said, what's the matter? They said, we're wondering why you want to have a duck on your head. And, I was just so bad at it. I can understand it. I can get the gist of the conversation, but because the guy speaks so quickly, it's really hard.
Gary Mackay, Vietnam veteran. It is Vietnam Veterans Day. He's got some interesting things to say on the Royal Commission in Defence and Veteran Suicide.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Yeah, that's Robin Williams from the movie of the same name, obviously about the Vietnam War. Gary Mackay, and we've heard part of that that interview. Gary was enlisted. His number came up. National serviceman back in 1968. Was shot twice in the last major battle Australian troops took place in 1971. After 12 months in hospital and recuperating, he stayed with the Navy. Served Army, I should say. Served mainly in operational and command roles. He was an instructor at the Royal Military College at Duntroon, and has done numerous things. And has become one of Australia's leading historical tour guides to Vietnam, and has also written many, many books on the subject. He lives in Kiama these days with his wife, Margot. Spends a lot of his time trying to convince her that writing is a real job. And he's certainly a prolific writer. And in fact, Australia's probably most prolific writer on the subject of the Vietnam War. I think it's up to 13 titles now. He's also on several committees for the Department of Veteran Affairs. And back in 1996, it was the historical advisor to Tim Fischer, then our Deputy Prime Minister, and also Bruce Scott, Minister for Veterans Affairs, on a number of issues, including an Australian Government Remembrance Tour. But one of the things I really wanted to ask Gary about was the findings or the interim report from the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide, which was handed down last week. The Commission did say they were dismayed at the limited ways the federal government had reacted to previous reports. And I did say to Gary, look, there have been 50 previous reports and more than 750 recommendations, and this is since the year 2000. And I asked Gary why he thought it was taking so long for governments to react to these recommendations.
If I can be blunt, money. It all comes down to, you know, compensating the individual. And, you know, if you're going to send people in harm's way, you've got to be prepared to support them when they come home. You know, I had a book published this year called After the Blood Cools, The Warrior's Dilemma. And Peter Cosgrove wrote the foreword to it and gave it a great rap. And basically what I said was, you know, you're asking soldiers to go onto a field of battle, which is an abnormal environment, and then expect them to come back and then just reintegrate into society with no impact. Well, you know, you ask any first responders in the police, fire and ambulance, and they will tell you the impact of post-traumatic stress. I don't like using the word disorder, because it gives it a different flavour. But post-traumatic stress can affect anybody and everybody. When I wrote a book about Cyclone Tracy, I saw it in individuals who'd been through the cyclone. And you need to support those people. And for the veterans, if you're going to send them in harm's way, you've got to be prepared to support them when they come back and they're having trouble dealing with living again, because you can't unsee what you see on the battlefield, and it's pretty awful. And I think it's really come down to the fact that the Department of Veterans Affairs, you know, have got to operate within a certain budget, and they're finding out, well, you know, this is going to blow out if we keep going the way we are. But that's the price for liberty, freedom, justice, and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Look, it's Vietnam Veterans Day tomorrow. You're the keynote speaker at the ceremony at Martin Place tomorrow. What will be the focus of what you have to say at the Vietnam Veterans Day ceremony tomorrow morning?
The thing I'll be concentrating on, Richard, is the theme was the end of the war, right? So because it's, you know, we went there in 1962 and we were literally done and dusted by December 72. So it's, you know, the 50th anniversary of the end of that. And really what I'm going to be talking about, because I was there in the last action in 1971, because everything after between 71 and 72 was really packing up and coming home and doing some training with the Vietnamese down in Long Dien. But really what my thing will be the impact it had on me when they announced that we were withdrawing and we were abandoning our South Vietnamese colleagues to their fate. And we knew that wasn't going to be good. And we saw that it wasn't good by the number of people who fled the country when the communists took over in 75.
Gary Mackay, a Vietnam veteran. It is Vietnam Veterans Day. I spoke to Gary yesterday and counted the fact that he spoke this morning at the memorial service held in Martin Place. The other thing I did want to ask Gary about was his thoughts on what was happening with Taiwan. The military exercises being conducted by China, Taiwan are now flexing their muscles as well. And, of course, we've heard about what's been happening in Korea. The United States now teaming up with South Korea for the largest joint military exercises ever because of what's happening up in North Korea. And, again, the little rocket man flexing his muscles. But an unstable world we live in. And I did ask Gary whether or not he thought we'd get involved if there was a skirmish between China and the United States over Taiwan.
I've got a feeling we'll be sucked into it anyway, and I think it will happen. I think China will probably in the next 3 years, is my best guess, will probably have a go. You've got to remember that China always play the long game. They've been doing it for thousands of years, and they're playing the long game, and they know they've got the military muscle, but Whether they've got the moral fortitude, I'm not sure. I don't trust them, I know that.
Well, he's not alone there. Gary Mackay, it is Vietnam Veterans Day.